Welcome to part two of our conversation with Sean Bowman about who the ghost is with Trenchcoat. What were you feeling yourself as it appeared that, you know, another person in the group was possessed, was acting those ways? Do you have any, do you consider yourself empathic or sensitive or anything like that to others' emotions or feelings?
I think the more I do it, like, especially when I do like channeling or like, you know, the Estes method or something like that, I think you open yourself more to that. And I have over time gotten more sensitive. I don't know about at that time, but like recently, like there's been stuff like where I've done like channel, we just call it channeling, but you know, like I've done channeling and we actually had, we were at Loveland Castle, which is in Ohio. And, like we had, like poltergeist activity. We actually have that on film too.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's like me just like being more in touch with stuff now, but even like, even younger days, I was actually just talking to somebody about this recently. Like when I was a kid, like I could sense when stuff was about to happen, if something bad was about to happen. Like one of the things I remember off the top of my head is I was at Conneaut Lake, which is an amusement park. It's actually like closed now, but I was on a water slide and I got to the bottom of the water slide and I was a kid, you know, so like I didn't really know what the hell I was doing. I just sat up and like I could tell something bad was about to happen. I felt something bad was about to happen. And my dad came down and ran me over and like knocked me under the water because I was pinned underwater. Like my mom was freaking out. The lifeguard was freaking out. Like as a kid, that's what I remember most. But there's other times where I've been at properties and like I went to the Jelly Museum in Leroy, New York, and this had nothing to do with paranormal. Like I was just there with my family and we were in one of the rooms and the room just fell off. And like I said to the lady, I was like, is this place haunted? And she just laughed at me and didn't answer me. So
like, that's the answer right there.
Yeah. But yeah, there's little things like that. And like I said, the more that like, I think that you do this, the more in touch you become with stuff and like you can sense stuff more, you know?
You had mentioned earlier in the house and you just kind of had that realization here just a few moments ago of the man that was by the way to the basement kind of reminded you of what you experienced when you were a child. Do you feel like you yourself are being followed by anything or have been followed by anything, whether it be from childhood or just maybe something that you picked up along the way on an investigation of some sort?
Well, currently, I don't feel that way, which is good. But the thing is, going actually back to that same property, Bel Air House, like I've been there numerous times. And some of the times are investigations. Sometimes like we actually went to go interview the owner, like we're friends with the owner. And the time I came back from interviewing the owner was just me and Mikey. And I came home and my wife thought something was attached to me. I don't know if it was the way I was acting or what it was, but she thought someone was attached to me. And then there's a couple weird things that happened during that time. She was having nightmares for one. And we used an ovulus in our bedroom actually. And it said nightmare, and which was kind of crazy. But there was other stuff too. Like I woke up in the middle of the night and I thought she was crying. And I was like, why are you crying? You know? And like, I ended up waking her up. She's like, what are you talking about? Like I wasn't crying. So it sounded like somebody's crying next to
me.
And then one of the weird things, it's kind of funny actually, is the way the bedroom's set up is like, the foot of our bed, there's a door. And I sleep on the right, my wife sleeps on the left. And like, I'll get out on the right and I'll go make a left and go straight and go out the door. Well, the one time I got up to go to the bathroom and some reason I ended up on her side of the room and I have like, you know, pops, like those things, the little doll things that you collect, you know?
Sure.
Okay. I have a big pop collection. So I'm over there like touching all the pops and I'm like, it's like, I didn't know where the hell I was. And like, I thought the door was over there and I'm feeling for the door and I can't feel the door. My wife wakes up. She's like, what the hell are you doing? And like, I was so embarrassed. Like I turned and like walked out of the room and didn't say anything, but it was like, I didn't know where I was, you know? Yeah. But the thing is too, with that same thing was later on, we were at the Inspiration House and we deal with this one psychic from the UK who always comes on our like Facebook lives and everything. She's really cool. And she's always spot on too. Like I'm not 100% like on psychics a lot, but she's very good. Like she's always on. And one of the things she was saying when we were in Inspiration House is, and she didn't know anything about this. She was saying there was an attachment with me, but it jumped to my wife. So I don't know if that's why she was having these nightmares and everything or what, but, and we think it was, and the funny thing is too, is actually when we were in the garage of the Inspiration House, a different property, one of the things that we got was the name Emily, which I said, Emily Davis is the one that's supposed to be from Bel Air House. So I don't know if Emily or the thing that claims to be Emily was attached to me or what. Mm-hmm.
No, that definitely. Yeah. So you had these experiences. You once had that individual that was part of the team that was kind of deep into the dark end of this. And then you kind of broke away. Tell me more about what happened as you broke away, as you kind of started doing, you know, your thing with the new group that that kind of formed, or that, you know, transitioned out of the other group. What's been a location that you've been truly intrigued to visit and have had the opportunity to, and what happened there, whether it was good, bad, or a disappointment?
Well, like I was saying about Loveland Castle, that's in Ohio. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the ones that was on our, you know, on our books for a while that we wanted to go to, but it was always hard to get a hold of the people because it's ran by, what are they called? Like the Order of something. I don't know. It's an older group of gentlemen that like ran this castle. But it was always hard to like get a hold of them. And then like I read online that there was a lot of negative stuff that they've would double book and stuff like that. So it's kind of iffy to begin with. Mm-hmm. But obviously like luckily we didn't have any issue because this was, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours from us. So we drove all the way there. We booked the hotel and, you know, like I was really nervous about going there. And like, I was telling my wife, like, cause we were the first two to show up. I was like, you go over and talk to the guy. Cause like I'm going to be pissed if they try like not letting us in. And, you know, like, I'm not trying to have that happen. So like she went over, she talked, everything was cool. We got in there. I didn't really expect a lot from that property. And I think that's kind of why it was so cool, because like, I mean, the property is really cool looking. Like it's like a castle that this guy built, and he ended up passing away and everything, but like they said it was haunted, but I didn't really 100% believe it, because, you know, there wasn't really a lot documented about the place. Mm-hmm. But we had a couple things that really happened there that was really cool. Like I said, the thing with the paranormal activity with the poltergeist stuff, I was doing a channeling session. There's a couple things that happened at this place, but this is like the most thing that stood out. I was doing a channeling session in this room where there was, it's actually a really cool visual too, because there's these two knights, and in the video, like the knights are both right next to me and I have a blindfold on and I'm in the dark. It's really creepy looking, but I'm in this room by myself. And usually like when we do this, we'll have like, we have a baby monitor and we'll usually be like either outside or like, they'll be somewhere else on the property, not really by me. Like I'm always by myself when we do this. Mm-hmm. But since this was a castle and it was stone, like we weren't getting good reception. So they were about 3 rooms away from me. And like in this room, they had all these swords and everything. And they're in that room. And Mikey's asking questions through the baby monitor. And I have a spirit box and headphones and blindfold and everything on. I can't hear him. And he was asking different questions here and there. And one of the things he says is he's like, if there's someone in the room with Sean, can you knock over one of our cameras? And the one guy, AJ or whatever, was like, we had $1,000 camera. He's like, not the $1,000 camera, you know? So it ends up knocking the baby monitor over like right after he says this.
Yeah.
And the baby monitor is across the room from, you could tell in the video, like I can't touch it. It's nowhere near me. And I didn't know what the hell happened. Like I heard something, and you see me like take my headphones off and I'm looking around. I'm like, what the hell was it? You know? And they come like, I wouldn't say running, but they are like excited, you know? So they come like darting out of the room, 2 rooms over. And I'm like, what the hell just happened? And they're like, we asked somebody to knock a camera over and the camera got knocked over. And you could see on the camera, like on the other cameras, you see it get knocked over. So that was kind of cool. But we had a couple other things happen at this place. One of the things is we were talking to her, like I said, our psychic always comes on, and she was on the lives with us. And there was a couple different things that she hit on. One was they kept hearing this dog bark, and I didn't hear it, but like my wife and Hannah and a couple other people heard this dog barking, which could have been, you know, just a dog from, you know, somewhere in the woods or something. But she knew about that, and that wasn't live when we did that. Like that was previously in the night that this was going on. She said there was a dog following them. And then another thing that she hit on when I was doing the channeling thing, I was talking about, like, I mentioned rape, and I didn't know anything about this. Like, there's nothing documented on the property or anything about this. But she was claiming that supposedly there was a girl that was raped by her uncle on this property. And the uncle supposedly was attached to my wife, and the girl was attached to me. And she was saying, like, the psychic kept saying, like, she wants everybody to leave and she wants just me to stay with her. I guess because, like, I'm 6'2", 300 pounds. Like, I'm the biggest guy in the group. And mm-hmm. I guess, like, she would feel protected, you know? But I don't know. That was really weird. And like I said, there was more that happened at that property than I expected.
That's interesting. When you have that and you expect it to be one way and it goes another. Let me ask you this. This is an opinion question. A structure like that is a castle. You know, it obviously just aesthetically has a spookiness to it because, you know, we've been conditioned to associate that as people with spookiness, with Halloween, with all sorts of things. Can a structure's architecture invite paranormal activity? Let's say, like, nothing bad has ever happened in a place, but it looks spooky as shit. It was a happy, lovely place. Anyone who has stories of it living there, being there, it was all positive. It just kind of, you know, falls into disrepair. It gets old over the years. It just looks spooky as shit. Can a structure like that, and of course you can have positive hauntings too, but let's say it feels kind of negative there now, can just the aura of the structure, the collective energy of people driving by these places year after year or walking up to them or going through them, can that create a haunting or energies that are there that then reflect more so the expectation of the living, of it being spooky and scary versus, you know, just naturally taking it on from its inhabitants?
I don't know about the structure itself, but I've always, like, kind of had this theory, and I always, like, you know, I talked to my wife about different things, like what would be cool for a TV show or something, you know, and
yeah.
I always thought what would be really cool is just to buy a regular property and, like, see if you can make it haunted. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, people bring in, like, graveyard dirt or Ouija boards or cursed objects and stuff like that. Like, I think if you do something like that, you could probably turn the property into something. But I think just sitting there, no one bothers it.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
But that's, I guess, what I'm saying is if people do start bothering and people do start exploring it, exactly what you're saying, can you make it haunted? And that's the interesting question. I like that you're wondering the same thing.
Like I said, yeah, I think it's possible, especially if, you know, you try amping that up and maybe, like, you know, you see some of these properties out here doing seances and
yeah,
just playing with Ouija boards and stuff like that. And I mean, you're obviously going to draw something in, especially, like, if you don't know what you're doing.
Here's another idea for you. And we'll wrap on this. You said you used to rap. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, there's people, obviously, that kind of use the diss tactic when it comes to paranormal investigating. It's not my cup of tea. I see people doing it, and it's kind of uncomfortable. But what about this? What if you go to the graves of famous rappers or places that maybe they frequented regularly, and you do a diss track, a freestyle diss track at them, and then you open up the EVP? Do you think you'll get an EVP back or something from them? Because, you know, it's their turn then to, you know, slap back at you.
I don't know. Maybe try that sometime. It's funny because actually we were just in New Orleans for my wife's 40th birthday.
Yeah.
And I think it was Slim Thug. He was part of, like, No Limit Records or whatever.
Yeah.
He was actually, he's buried down there. And, I wasn't going to, like, go do anything like that, but we did want to go, like, see his grave, but we didn't, we didn't have the time to do it.
You can call it dissing the dead. And then, you just, somebody, you know, you lay down a beat and you just kind of go and then see what you get back. That wraps up part two of our conversation with Sean Bowman. A big thank you to him for joining us and sharing his experiences on the program. And thank you to you for subscribing and keeping us on the air. We cannot do this without you. Until next time for the Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.